praise together. Turn to Romans chapter 16, if you would. It's right before Romans 17, which is 1 Corinthians 1. We are winding down in our study of Romans. Next, we'll study the prophets, the major and minor prophets in the Old Testament. I'll give you more information about that as closer we get. But today we have a very needed and serious warning, exhortation, instruction. As Paul is winding down, he's been fighting for the unity of the church. We've seen him show us that all need a Savior, Jew and Gentile are lost and need a Savior, none good, no, not one, that Christ is that Savior, and through faith in Him, we are forgiven for all of our sins. We are credited with His righteousness so that we stand righteous before God in Him and are accepted as children of God. We've seen also that he, in chapter 6 following, he sanctifies those he justifies. He gives us a new heart that loves his word, that grows in his grace and seeks to growingly live for him and be putting sin to death. We saw that in chapter 8. We've seen that he sovereignly applies this gospel in 9 to 11. Then we turn the corner in chapter 12 to see that our responsibility, the gospel being true, is to be a living sacrifice. Last week, to be one whose life is worthy of the gospel, one whose life is characterized by a joyful following of Christ in humility and dependence upon the Word and love for Him, love for one another, seeking to live lives like His, truly, truly holy lives. And Paul has been fighting for the unity of the church and what he's been teaching, and now he's showing a danger to the unity of the church in verses 17 and 18 we'll look at today. But I'm just going to read verses 17 to 20. And then we'll look at verses 17 and 18. I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them, for such persons do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. For your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you, but I want you to be wise as to what is good and innocent as to what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Thus far God's word. Let's pray. Lord, by your Spirit, take your word and illumine and apply it to our hearts. Bring souls to faith in Christ. Convert souls, Lord. Nurture and grow those of us who know you by your grace, Lord, and so that we might be more like Jesus. Help us to take your word seriously. So help me to preach your word in the power of the Spirit for the glory of your name and the good of your people. And help us then, as your people, to hear it as your word, seeking to understand it and live in its light. Minister to your people with your word, Lord. We give you all the praise as we pray for your blessing on both the preaching and the hearing of the word. We trust for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Danger. Bridge out. What do you do when you see a sign like that? You just yawn and drive around it and go on about your way, right? Well, if you do that, you probably might find great injury or even death as you go over where the bridge used to be and is now out. Wisdom, when it sees a sign like that, turns around and goes the other way. Wisdom believes that sign, sees the danger, identifies, yes, because the sign's identifying the danger. And the command implied there is to not go this way. That sign should be plastered on the front of a lot of churches in America and around the world these days. The theological bridge is out, and there is great danger should you proceed? See, false doctrine is dangerous. It's not just, well, that's their opinion and whatever, and we'll go on about and everything will be okay. No, false doctrine is dangerous. It divides. It hurts. And like the physical bridge out sign, if you ignore the warning, false doctrine could be deadly. False doctrine is always a clear and present danger in every age. Jesus warned against false prophets, didn't he? And he said, you will know them by their fruits. And their fruit there is life as well as teaching. There can be an externally very seemingly holy person who stands up in a pulpit and preaches blasphemous error. So it's not just looking at how they look. Peter warned, he said, just as they are false prophets among the people, there will be false teachers among you. And today in this text, we see Paul delivering a similar warning. I don't know if you remember, Corey did a great job on this topic when he preached from the book of Jude for us, to contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. So those sermons are on the website. I would point you to those if you want to listen to those again or maybe for the first time. But what I want you to see this morning is what Paul is doing here in this text, the church has taken seriously down through the ages. The church has a long history of clearly identifying heresy and warning against it. Through councils and creeds and confessions and even letters in your New Testament. Some of the letters in your New Testament were written to correct false doctrine as well as to instruct the saints. In our text today, Paul warns against the serious danger that will split the church. And that danger is false teachers and therefore false teaching. And we need to be mindful of that. Today, we're looking at verses 17 to 18, and I simply pulled words out of verse 18. Smooth talk and flattery. Smooth talk and flattery. That's not what they teach you to be in a good seminary. That's a description of false teachers and the danger that they present. Our main point this morning is to continually identify and avoid false teachers. Until Christ comes back, that job won't be finished. To continually identify and avoid false teachers. Point number one, false teachers are out there, so identify them. They are out there. Look back at verse 17. I appeal to you, brothers, or brethren, brothers and sisters. That's the church there he's talking to. I notice the urgency there. In fact, some translations translate it, I urge you. I beseech you. I call upon you. Paul is calling upon the church as an apostle, one who has the authority to call upon the church. He's passionate. He's serious. He wants the church to take this warning seriously. What is the warning? Look, I appeal to you, brethren, to watch out. To watch out. This is, you can see the warning flavor of the words there. I appeal to you to watch out. It's a warning of danger. If you're walking down the sidewalk, if you're walking down the street, and all of a sudden somebody says, watch out! If you don't have your headphones in your ears so that you can't hear anybody, you know what you'll do? You'll look up. You'll look around. Might be a car coming at you. Maybe something's about to fall on you. There's a danger that people are trying to warn you. And that's true of the Apostle Paul. Look what he says. Watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles. So it's as though Paul is his voice is amped up. He's passionate. He's speaking to the church and he's saying, watch out! There's a danger out there. There are people out there, not just out there, but in the the church. And you see many of them named in the New Testament, Diotrephes and many others. Watch out for, look, those who cause divisions and create obstacles. These are dangers to the unity that I've been fighting for here. These people will cause divisions. They will put forth stumbling blocks in your path. So you have to watch out for them, because the what's one of the strategies of war? Divide and conquer, right? The enemy is always trying to divide and conquer the church. So Paul points out a danger. There are those out there who cause divisions and create obstacles. Imagine if you were running a race, right? Maybe you're running a mile-long race or a 400 meters or whatever you're running. And you're running according to the rules. You're running in your lane. And you're part of a team. So maybe a relay is right. But or there's a big crowd of runners, and I said bicycle riders do this. There'll be teams of people who work together in bicycle races. But imagine that someone who has on the T-shirt of the team, right, and they're claimed to be part of the team, but constantly in the race they're trying to distract you, and they're dropping things in front of you to try to trip you up. See, they're wearing the gear, but they're not really on the team, because they're trying to destroy the effort. See, sadly, not everyone who's on the has wearing the gospel T-shirt is on the gospel team. Not everyone who makes a profession of faith, or even who stands in a pulpit, is truly on Team Jesus. So he says, watch out for those who create cause divisions and create obstacles. And how do they do that? Well, the danger is identified. Look, the ones who are causing divisions and creating obstacles are those who are teaching, look, contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. The one that you need to watch out for in this instance, the one that is where the theological bridge is out, where there is danger, are false teachers. There's a warning from an apostle here that we need to hear. Not everybody who stands up and claims to be a follower of Christ, who stands in a pulpit in a church, is teaching the truth. You say, well, yeah, well, I know liberal churches and all that kind of. Yeah, well, that's true. That's true. But the devil's more crafty than that. But notice the first thing I want you to notice about this verse. Look what he says. Contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. There are people with the attitude today that, I don't need doctrine, I just need Jesus. Just give me Jesus and that's enough. Well, you can't have Jesus without the truth about who Jesus is. And that's doctrine. The word is teaching. Doctrine. We all need healthy words, Paul says in Titus. Healthy theology. We have to be taught the truth so that then we're protected from the error. And Paul has said, listen, you've been taught good doctrine. That's the first thing I want you to notice. The church had been taught sound doctrine. In Paul's epistle, we have a whole book of sound doctrine here, but then also the teachers that were there. The church is already there. It's already been planted. It's already been nurtured. It's been taught good doctrine, sound doctrine. It's necessary. In fact, it's vital to the health of your soul. And if your heart and soul is healthy, you will want it. You will want to know the truth about who your God is. You will want to know the truth about who Jesus is and who you are in Him and what God requires of you. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Implication there, you'll know what they are. You'll know who I am. You'll know what they are. Why do you think we spend so much time and effort trying to teach you the Bible, trying to get you in the Bible, trying to help you read and understand the Bible, trying to help you study it well. Why would we point you to sound confessions and catechisms and books and teachers? Why do we have 9:15 classes as well as morning worship? Why do we do a p.m. service? My goodness, isn't that too much? It's all the example of the early church. Why do we meet and pray and study, and why do we have men's and women's studies, and why are we doing all this? My goodness, that's too much. Well, you know, the church was in the temple together daily, so evidently they didn't, the early church. We want you to be equipped with healthy, sound doctrine, the truth that promotes faith and growth in grace, so that you will be healthy spiritually and growing in grace and the light and salt that Christ calls you. You will be able to encourage and strengthen and lovingly correct one another with the Word. You will be able to walk with Christ and know who He is. You'll understand the difference between justification and sanctification. And if you don't, you're doomed. Those are Bible words. We're commanded to do that. And you're commanded to be a part of that. But it's not just to spoil your fun. In fact, it's not to spoil your fun. Why do you feed your babies? Because you want to spoil their fun? No, you know, they need that nutrition, that nurture, so they'll grow and be healthy and strong, Lord willing. Spiritually, the same thing. Notice that the church was taught contrary. You want to watch out for things that are contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. And then secondly, false teachers were out there. They must be identified, because they're the ones that are teaching contrary to the doctrine that the church has been taught. Their doctrine doesn't line up with sound doctrine. Listen, we're not talking here about differences of opinion over the millennium or baptism or things that good people can disagree on and still be orthodox. We're talking about serious threats to core doctrine. We're talking about things that are identified as heresy, as opposed to the doctrines that we've even studied in the book of Romans. We're to watch out for things that down through the ages the church has identified as heresy. So it's not merely, you know, false doctrines. They are foundational false issues. They are things that if left uncorrected, Christianity can't survive. They are errors on the nature of God and the being of God and the nature of Jesus and His person and down the line. They must be corrected. So you're to watch out for, look at there, look at in verse 17, watch out. Watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine you have been taught. So that implication there, you're to identify. Watch out for people and identify them, those who are teaching things contrary to the doctrine you've been taught. You have the sound doctrine. Now, apply that doctrine to one you hear teaching, and when you hear them teaching things contrary to that sound doctrine you've been taught, then you know the danger is in front of you. Years ago, before markers and all that kind of stuff that would turn different colors on money, tellers, they learned everything about the real dollar bill, how it looked, how it smelled, how it felt, all of that kind of stuff. They mastered the real currency so that when the counterfeit came through their hands, they would be able to identify it. Why? They knew the truth. They knew the true money, so when the fake money came through, they could identify it. We are to know the true doctrine. And all doctrine is important. Don't hear me say that it's not. Sound words. So we're to know the true doctrine so that we can live a life that glorifies God, so that we will grow in His grace, so that we'll be able to be light and salt. We should desire it. But one of the applications of sound doctrine is that when I know sound doctrine, then the error sticks out plainly. So you don't have to memorize everything Jehovah's Witnesses teach. You know the truth about who Christ is, so when they come to you and say He's the first created being, you go, nope. And you're able to identify what's wrong with that. But bottom line, a false teacher distorts or denies a core doctrine of the faith, like the being and nature of God, the person of Christ, the nature of man, and the gospel, deviation from the orthodox beliefs of the church. Watch out for them. By knowing sound doctrine, identify them. And as you're growing in knowing sound doctrine, trust those who do know it to guide you and lead you so that you can properly identify false teaching. We need to know who these people are. Secondly, we have another duty. Point number two, false teachers are out there, so avoid them. Avoid them. Look, that's what it says in the text. At the very end of verse 17, avoid them. Don't go to their churches. Don't read their books. Don't watch them online. Don't listen to them. Avoid them. Now, I know this is uncomfortable, and the influence of postmodernism on education, and everybody has their own truth, and nobody's wrong, and all that kind of stuff. I gotta tell you, people are wrong. They're wrong when they go against the word rightly interpreted. We've seen we have the rich tradition of the church, that how the church has interpreted Scripture, that comes all the way down to us so that we can have that as an aid to rightly interpret Scripture. And our duty is twofold: identify false teachers and avoid them. Don't mollycoddle them. Help others avoid them. Look back at those words. That is a command. Avoid them. Avoid the ones who teach contrary to the doctrine you've been taught. Man, that just highlights the value of sound, solid Reformed confessions and catechisms and all of the tools that we have these days so that we can know. I mean, what was the Reformation? It wasn't a new thing. It was recapturing the truth that had been lost, right? So we have these rich things that help us see what the truth, what sound, healthy doctrine is, and so that we can identify those who don't teach this way and we can avoid them. The NAS says turn away from them. The NIV says keep away from them. Do not listen to them, read them. Listen, here's the point. They are dangerous. The theological bridge is out. But I love listening to him because he's so entertaining. He keeps my attention as he preaches his nonsense. He's funny. He dresses well. He speaks well. Man, so many people go to his sports arena church. He can't be wrong, right? Well, Jehovah's Witnesses fill up those sports arenas and things. You're going to say they're not wrong? Look back at verse 18. Such persons do not, those who teach doctrine contrary to that has been received in the church, these, for such persons, look, do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own appetites. Man, Corey did a good job in Jude drawing that out. They do not serve Christ, but their own appetites. They are well-spoken many times and entertaining and easy to listen to as they put forth their nonsense that is dangerous and will split the church. They quote the Bible. Some of them even hold up a Bible. This is my Bible. I'll be taught. And then they lay it down. They don't teach it. They blather their nonsense. Y'all know who I'm talking about. Their religion is a camouflage for their self-promotion. It's really all about them and building their kingdom and buying their airplanes and fleecing God's people. And they do it with, look at the text, serving their own appetites by smooth talk and flattery. They deceive the hearts of the naive. It is sad that a lot of heretics these days are very well-spoken people, very gifted with oratory. Isn't it? They're well-spoken, but they're self-centered. They're man-centered in their message. They want to show you how to get everything you want so they can get everything what they want. They're very polished, but it's fool's gold. You know what fool's gold is, right? Take a knife and scratch it a little bit. That gold-plated. Maybe that better. How do you know, Jeff? Well, they never preach the law. They never preach sin, wrath, or hell. They never tell people the bad news. They never risk offending people. Why? Because they got to keep that big place full so all the money keeps flowing in. Listen, people, they are false teachers out there, and they're some of the most popular people listened to by hordes of people these days. And the theological bridge is out. People plunging to their doom, sitting in churches, listening to those smiling faces, teaching heresy. Smooth talk and flattery. And you listen to, don't listen to them. But it's all about you getting your destiny. If you ever hear a preacher talk about your destiny and your destiny guides and stuff, just throw tomatoes at them and run. How you can name it and claim it and get what you want. And God's intention is for everybody to always be healthy, wealthy, and it's almost like the new heaven, new earth's already here. Nobody's supposed to struggle. Fattest cats on the block are them. And they're big houses and cars and planes. And they're well-spoken, but they're man-centered. They're very polished, but they're not preaching the gospel. Listen, if you don't preach the law, you're not preaching the gospel. If you don't show people why they need a Savior, you're not preaching the gospel. It's called the good news because that's in opposition to the bad news of what we all deserve, which is condemnation. Satan has a lot of people in pulpits with TV ministries. Now, not all of them have TV ministry. But look at what Paul says. He was the apostle Paul was opposed by these kind of people. And you can go read 2 Corinthians if you want more on that. But look at verses 13 to 15 in 2 Corinthians 11. Such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. So it is no surprise, and no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. He don't always come at you with fangs out. What do you do with Adam and Eve? No. In this way. You can avoid the struggle in the cross. You can have everything you want this way. Verse 15. So it is no surprise that his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. Emissaries of Satan, well-spoken, entertaining, man-centered, promoters of theological error to the delight and applause of many people who claim to follow Jesus. Why does it work? Why does it work? Why do they fill auditoriums with that mess? Well, look what Paul says. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the well-taught. They deceive the hearts of the naive. I remember when I was working in the Palmetto Center in Columbia, South Carolina, and down there on Main Street, it wasn't full, but I mean every couple of blocks, they'd be these little one or two or maybe three Jehovah's Witnesses standing on the sidewalk and trying to promote their thing, and I'd talk with them and try to witness to them and all that kind of stuff. But it was amazing how many of them said, no, I used to be a Baptist. I used to be a Presbyterian. I used to be this or that. But now I've found the truth. And when you dig into what they knew about sound theology, they didn't have a clue. They deceive the hearts of the naive. They deceive with false doctrine. Why does it work? Well, obviously many people are lost that are drawn to that and listen to that. Jesus said, many will come to me on that day claiming, Lord, Lord, and I will tell them. And they will say, didn't we cast out demons and do many mighty works? And he said, I will say to them, depart from me. I never knew you. I don't ever want you to hear that. I don't want to hear that. The protection is to root in Christ and the truth that is in him. But the other reason is because the church is also, and it's partially the pastor's fault, the church is filled with the naive who all of their lives have only heard a very surfacey gospel message and an appeal and a bunch of hymns sung, but they've never been taught the truth. They've never been taught doctrine. The church is filled with those who have a profession of faith but lack depth in biblical wisdom. And that's what would guard them against the false teachers. Colossians 1:9, Paul talking to the Colossian church, he says, so from the day we heard their conversion, we have not ceased to pray for you. What are you asking for, Paul? That you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. That you might grow in his grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ so that you are no longer naive, no longer children tossed to and fro by every wave of doctrine, but mature, standing on the rock of Christ, immunized against the false doctrine that comes at you on a daily basis. How do you, look at that verse again, how are you filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding? There's a vital component in that. You know what it is? Colossians 3:16, be filled with the message of Christ. Because this is what the Spirit used to bring us to faith and to grow us in grace and to establish us in sound doctrine. If you don't have an appetite for this, something is wrong, okay? Maybe you claim to be following Christ and maybe you really are his child, but you've just kind of backslidden and gotten out of the habit and you really don't desire to read it. Listen, on your spiritual dashboard, that's a blinking, flashing red light. There's a problem there. If your heart doesn't desire to know your Savior, and the way you know your Savior is through his word, there is a problem. Maybe you're a Christian who just needs to be returned from backsliding, needs to repent. This word is vital for the health of your soul. But maybe you don't know him. Maybe you're one of those who walked an aisle, prayed a prayer, a preacher led you through a prayer and told you never to doubt, but your life didn't really change. One of the things that is true for a child of God who is healthy is they're going to eat. Just like physically, we're going to eat when we're healthy. Spiritually, when we're healthy, we're going to eat. And this is what we're going to feed on, is the truth of God's word. So that we're established and protected against the threat of false doctrine. Because you don't get a choice. They're out there. And the evil one's emissaries are out there. Some may be deceived and be true believers. I don't know. But what we judge them on is the doctrine that they teach to see whether or not they're a false teacher. And we compare that to the true doctrine of the Word. And as if you have the Word hidden in your heart and the truth of the Word hidden in your heart, the more you have that, the more protected you are. But even if you're a brand new baby Christian, listen, you're protected. If you will listen to your shepherds, they're shepherd and sheep, and the shepherd protects the flock and leads and guides the flock. So as you grow in grace and as this stuff comes at you, you can ask about it. And we'll help you see. But you can see that the church was taught true doctrine, that we need to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be established in the truth so that we are able to identify false teaching when we read it, see it, hear it. That we won't look at the externals. Good-looking person, well-spoken, surrounded by a bunch of people, entertaining, funny. None of that matters. I'm going to do something that makes people uncomfortable sometimes. I'm going to warn you of some wolves. and I just judge by the doctrine they teach. Okay? There are wolves out there coming after your soul, and a good shepherd will warn you against them. So maybe these are some of your favorite people right now. I don't know. And this first one I'm going to mention, I had a lady get real mad at me after church one day, and I don't think I've ever seen her since. But you know what? I'm going to mention him again. So here are some of the false teachers. And the only reason I'm mentioning these people is that you see them everywhere. They are popular these days, but you need to know that they are not teaching sound doctrine. Joel Osteen. He don't hardly teach anything. But what he does teach, there's a great Greek word for it, and y'all are probably tired of my Greek word, but hogwash, most of it. He'll mention Jesus and Jesus dying, but never preach the law, never tell you why you need a Savior, never call you to repentance. Stephen Furtick. Dangerous. Dangerous false teacher. Kenneth Copeland. A lot of these are Word of Faith people. Just simply because they're popular, I mentioned. What a name for a false teacher. Creflo Dollar. And one who's always trying to milk the money. Who will tell you that you are a little god. God reproduces after his kind, and so he made you so you're a little god. He's a big fool. And see, people will say, aren't you scared to say anything against God's anointed? Well, yeah, but they're not. Because they're preaching theological trash bin. False doctrine. Jesse Duplantis. Benny Hinn. You listen to people like that, it's your own fault. Send me money so you'll be blessed. Anybody ever says that to you? Run. T.D. Jakes. Bill Johnson. Oh, here we go. Joyce Meyer. What you want me to do with that Joyce Meyer Bible study? Well, don't give it to anybody. Get rid of it. All right, I'm going to get in a little bit more trouble now. Y'all listen to me. Sarah Young. That whole Jesus calling mess. I'm going to mention some organizations. Bethel and Hillsong. Well, I know that they teach heresy in some places, but their music is so good. We should still sing their song. No. You've heard of the story of the Trojan horse, haven't you? A lot of times the music can be a Trojan horse. Many, many cults, Jehovah's Witnesses, all the Mormons will knock on your door, all these kind of things. Roman Catholic Church is apostate when it comes to the gospel. Not saying that everything they believe is wrong. There's some things, in the doctrine of God and things that are true. But when it comes to the gospel, I agree with R.C. Sproul in an apostate organization. They have anathematized the gospel at Trent. And listen, there are too many Protestant churches and things, Protestant, to mention. This is not an exhaustive list, but it's a list that I hope will get your attention. To examine the people you're listening to and to ask yourself, when I read sound theology and then I hear these people talk, are they saying this? Because there's a lot of healthy people out there you could be listening to. R.C. Sproul. If you're not familiar with Ligonier Ministries, go pour into, listen to Ligonier Ministries, and there are many others we can help you find them. But listen, what I want you to see is our duty as followers of Christ is to identify and avoid false teachers, all false teachers. And yeah, it requires work. But the more you know the truth, the less work it requires to be able to hear. So study to know the truth. That's what God calls us to anyway. Trust your pastors unless you can prove from Scripture they're wrong. Listen, here's a big thing in the church these days. Stop looking for entertainment and look for edification. I make no brief for boring preaching, but my goal every Sunday is not to entertain you. It's to love you and challenge you to trust Christ and to walk with Him. Stop looking for entertainment because your soul is in danger and the unity of Christ's church is in danger. many people out there these days preaching and teaching doctrines of demons. Just a fact. A lot of the New Age redressed and preached by a lot of these people. That's why Paul was so serious with Timothy when he said this in chapter 4, his last letter he writes to his son in the faith. He says, I charge you. Now notice the serious nature of this. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Whoa. If an apostle wrote you a letter and started like that, I think your ears might perk up and pay attention to what he says. Look what he says. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Look at this, what a lot of these people don't do. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming, and boy, is it ever here, when people will not endure sound teaching or sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. Be careful, Timothy. Don't falter. Don't waver. Preach the word. Preach it when they want it and when they don't. When they like it and when they don't, because that glorifies your Savior and it is good for the health of your church. And the ones in whom He's at work will listen to it. Because there are many people out there that have itching ears who want their ears tickled. Tell me something easy. Tell me five ways to have more money or a better marriage or whatever. Don't preach the gospel to me. Don't tell me I'm a sinner. And there are plenty of people that will coddle you like that. Who will take your money and coddle you and walk you in a suit all the way to the gates of hell if you will listen to them. And a lot of them don't know that's what they're doing. I'm going to try to think the best anyway. How do we apply this? How do we identify and avoid? What are we supposed to do? And you've already heard me say it, but study the truth. That's our application. That's a main application. Study the truth so that the false teachers stick out. How do I do that? Bible reading, Bible study, regular devotions with the Lord. That's individual, right? As well as corporate Bible reading and study, regular worship. The primary means of grace, this could be sound like a preacher, it's not meant to be self-serving, but the primary means of grace is the word preached to God's people on God's day in the midst of His worship. So being regular in worship and prioritizing that, being part of the classes and reading the confessions and catechisms and talking about those things together, fellowshipping around the truth of God. Because the more we're in the Word and the more the Word's in us and the Spirit is giving us a sound interpretation of that Word backed up by sound exegesis, the more strong we're going to be in the Lord and the more protected we're going to be against false teachers. And maybe you've experienced this. The more you have matured in the Lord, the less some of these things that people teach even tempt you. They just annoy you or sicken you. J.C. Ryle said this, it is neglect of the Bible. I want you to pay clear attention to this. It is neglect of the Bible which makes so many a prey to the first false teacher whom they hear. Neglect the Bible at your own peril. Take it seriously if you don't desire it. Let's talk about that. So then, study the truth, application one, so that then, number two, then, and there's myriad uses of the truth, not just this, but in light of our text today, then use the truth to identify those who teach doctrine that is out of accord with what you've been taught. Mark them and avoid them. I mean, you can clearly see it here. False teachers are out there, and it's all through the Word. And our duty is to identify and avoid them. Run to the ones who are teaching the truth. Learn from them, primarily together in God's church. Trust your pastors unless you can show that they're wrong from the gospel. And then three is just another implication. Avoid false teaching at all costs. Listen, false teachers, so many people went, I gotta be careful what I say. So many people were so afraid, and rightly so, especially when you don't know what you're dealing with, of illnesses when they go around and try to take preventative measures from catching those illnesses and some things were a good idea and some not, but I'm not getting into that this morning. But false doctrine is far more dangerous than any virus you'll ever run across. Because it's a danger to your soul. It's a danger to your eternity. It's a danger to your usefulness in the church. It's a danger to your brothers and sisters if you're parroting that stuff. So avoid false teaching at all costs. We have a warning in the book of Galatians. Look at Paul's passion to the book of Galatians. They had begun to listen to others, and he says this in verses 6 to 9. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, the one preached by the Judaizers. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want, now watch this, and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Now watch his passion. Even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to one that we preach to you, let him be accursed. Those who are not preaching the true gospel, you are to see that as an accursed, being accursed, avoided. And we look, he repeats it. And they really want to get your attention. And we said before, now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. What gospel did they receive? Thankfully, we have other writings of Paul, and even Galatians makes it clear, right? But places like 1 Corinthians 15, where the first part of that says, Paul says, this is the gospel I preach to you. This is the gospel by which you are saved. If you continue in faith, unless you've believed in vain. What was the content of that gospel? Very first word is Christ. Christ died for our sins. In order to understand that verse, you've got to go back to the law. What is sin? Any lack of conformity to or violation of one of God's commandments. Having other gods, worshiping the wrong way, using the Lord's name in vain, not honoring Him on His day, murder, adultery, which can happen in the heart, thoughts. Jesus said, if you look with lust on another, you've committed adultery. Oh my gosh. On down the line we go. Lying is part of it, coveting. Sin is a violation of the law of God. And you can see why in order to explain the gospel, you have to preach the law. You have to let people know what sin is. Sin, the soul that, God says, the soul that sins shall die. That means physical death, yes, but spiritual death, separation from God, eternity, in hell. Depart from me, I never knew you. Right? That's what we deserve. We deserve condemnation because we've broken His law in thought, word, and deed. But Jesus is the Lamb of God, foreshadowed and predicted in that Old Testament. He came to live in perfect fulfillment of God's law. And He did that, yes, for the glory of the Father, but He did it for the good of the people. He fulfilled all righteousness where we have broken it. And then as the pure and spotless Lamb of God, He went to the cross and paid the penalty for our sins. Not just physical suffering. Yes, it was horrible physical. Physical was nothing compared to the cup of God's wrath being poured out on His Son. The wrath due His people, Jesus took upon Himself. He is our propitiation. He turned that wrath off of us and onto Him. Justice had to be satisfied. God is holy and He cannot wink at sin. Somebody had to pay the penalty, and Christ came to pay that penalty for His people. That's what it means when it says Christ died for our sins. It means He drank that cup. That cup, if you read in the Gospels where He's in the Garden of Gethsemane and He's literally sweating blood out of the anxiety, He knew what He was facing. The wrath of God due His people's sin. And He willingly went to that cross, submitting to the Father, not my will but yours be done, and paid the penalty for His people's sin. He was the Lamb of God. And before He left that cross, He said what? It is almost finished. I'm going to leave a little bit for them to pay. If you want to know if we have to do that, come back tonight. Please come back tonight. What did he say?
It is finished.
Tetelestai. Literally meaning paid in full. We sang about double imputation. Our sin was imputed to him and he died and paid the penalty for it, that his righteousness might be credited to us in our record, that we might be forgiven of all of our sins and clothed in his righteousness and accepted as children of God. Christ paid the penalty justice required. Everybody clamoring for justice these days. They just don't define it the way God does. He paid the penalty fully for our sin. And then he brings the gospel into our lives so that the Spirit works through that gospel to birth us again. Suddenly we are convicted of our sin and see our need of a Savior, and we turn and trust in this Savior and have forgiveness and eternal life in him. But now we have a new heart that wants to live for him, that wants to know him. You want to know if you've had a true conversion? Did you get a new heart in the process? Do you now hate the sin you used to love and love the righteousness you used to hate? And is your life effort to put off the sin that caused Christ's death and put on following after him through the Word? If we could see your heart, we're being sanctified. We're not glorified yet, but would there be evidence of repentance and faith? God works repentance, turning from sin and self-focus to God and faith, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as he is revealed in the gospel. Would that be what would be manifest and evident? Are you trusting in Christ and Christ alone this morning? Have you been convicted of your sin such that you turned and received Christ as your Savior? See, that's how Paul, that's how the apostles, that's how the people we see in the Bible preached the gospel and called for repentance and faith. And then that initial repentance, when we come to Christ and we're justified, it keeps going in our growth in grace. The Christian life is a life of growing repentance and faith until one day when we're glorified. Do you love Jesus? Do you have any love in your heart for Jesus? Sproul would tell you that that's because the Spirit put it there, but it'll be proved in your life. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Are you following him? Are you striving after him? Look to Jesus, follow him, be filled with his word, and therefore be immunized against the false teachers that so many are out there. Many teachers these days live on dangerous roads that should have the sign on them, the theological bridge is out. Turn and go elsewhere. Learn to identify and avoid them for the good of Christ's church, for the good of your family and friends, for the good of your own soul. Follow Jesus. Heed his warning. Identify and avoid all false teachers. Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, build your church. Deliver your people from the error that is so abundant these days. Unto the sound theology that is your word rightly interpreted, with Christ in the center. Help us to preach and teach your word accurately. And help us as your people to have a passion for being taught and preached to, for studying and learning and growing in the truth of the word of God. First and foremost, so that we'll love you. And then so that we will be protected and be able to love one another. Lord, I pray for those who maybe have a false assurance. Maybe they are counting on a decision they made years ago, but their lives would never prove that they are a follower of Christ. Or maybe someone who's never made a profession and sees their need of Christ. I pray for those who don't know you that you would show them that there's an answer for their sin. That Christ has paid the penalty, that they are not just invited but commanded to repent and trust in Christ. So save those who don't know you. And those of us who do know you, refresh us, renew us, reinvigorate us with a passion for you, to love you, and therefore to love your truth and to be saturated with it. Not that we would be protected from falsehood, but that we would be equipped to speak truth in love and be light and salt to the culture that is so rapidly descending into the abyss. Bless us, Lord. By your grace, help us to identify and avoid false teachers. And on the flip side of that, identify and learn from true and good teachers. Bless your word and build your church. It's in Jesus' name.